am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
Just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. Today we are discussing Batman, the Doom That Came to Gotham.
Something a little bit different.
So, this is an adaptation of the comic book of the same name that was released in the late 2001, early 2001.
Yeah.
This was written by Mike Mignola.
The comic was.
Yeah.
Sorry. I doubt the film was, but who knows?
Yes, so... I don't know how close the plot is to the...
There's at least one big change that I noticed.
Yeah.
So,
I've not actually read the comic book.
Read the comic. I had a quick look at the summary of it, and, yeah.
Yeah. So... The film is an alternative take of Batman in the 1920s, and it's very much invoking that eldritch horror element. There's tentacles, there's unexplained phenomena. There also is a lot of demons in this, to be fair.
I mean, it is totally it's definitely going for the Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Look.
So we open to Bruce Wayne, who's been traveling for about 20 years at this point since the murder of his parents, which we do get a version of, but it's not pearls in an alleyway for once.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still kind of the same.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's still the same.
It was probably more fun.
Bruce Wayne and his three wards, who it's different takes. It's Kylie Kane, Dick Grayson, and Sanjay J. Todd.
Which is ridiculous. And yeah. I think it was. So that's the big difference. It was Tim, not Cassandra.
Yeah.
In the comic, so.
So, they have come across an expedition down to Antarctica, which was led by Oswald Cobblepot. Everyone has been found frozen to death, apart from Cobblepot himself and an individual by the name of Grendon, who is meant to be a take on Mr. Freeze. So, after Bruce sees a naked Cobblepot running through the snow.
With kind of like little icicles on him.
Yes. He finds Grendon trying to chip into an ice wall. He's been driven completely insane. He's pulled out his own eyeballs.
It's horrible.
He's voiced by... David Dash Malton.
So he's who doing... we like.
He's shown up in three or four of these films recently, which is
He's nice. Got a great voice, so.
There's a few others. They bring William Salyers has done the voice for Oswald Cobblepot, who the most recent thing that I've seen him in was Doc Ock in the Spider-Man games. Jeffrey Combs shows up for like a 2-minute voice cameo.
That's cool.
So there's certainly some, and also Christopher Gorman is the person who voices Oliver Queen. He,
we like him.
Yeah, we like him. He voiced the Flash in the DC AMU and was horribly underused. So Bruce sees something in the ice that kind of drives him to temporary madness. Before being attacked by mutated penguin monsters.
As you do.
So, whilst he's fighting off the penguins, Grendon swallows a tentacle from something. And Bruce then seals off the cave, taking only the body of Grendon. Cobblepot is still missing, and the last we see him in this film is him and his mutated penguins watching Bruce Wayne leave. Grendon then it appears that he is dead, and if he isn't kept in the freezer, he starts to decay.
Wow.
So he's been kept in the meat freezer.
That's gross.
So we then cover, we go into Bruce's office. He has, the red string all over the map of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's reading Cobblepot's journal, and he sees that there is evidence of a cult tied to Gotham.
Yeah.
So Bruce decides after 20 years to finally return home. By this point, he is already Batman.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons that are explained later in the film.
That are kind of explained later.
Yes. It's kind of... It's a bit like... I don't know. A lot of this film kind of reminds me of Gotham by Gaslight. Again, it's another alternative old-timey take. And... Yeah, I actually like the Batsuit in this film, I have to say.
I didn't really hugely pay attention to them. Like, I have to say, like, they were fine. Like, I didn't notice anything I didn't like about them, so...
So... We then see a flashback to the death of the Wayne family. At first, it looks like it's just a random homeless man attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Though we find out that it wasn't later.
Yeah.
So Bruce then goes up, runs up to the top of a clock tower and has a strange vision before being attacked by bats. We don't see the rest of that vision because that comes later and it's... Shove it. We'll go into it now. The bats are harboring some kind of eldritch-like entity and say that he is the only person that can save the world.
Yeah, I got very confused, to be honest, about some of these explanations, so...
It's... Basically, this is what inspired him to become the Batman, apparently.
Which is, again, not really explained. I mean, like, they kind of... Yeah, he really wants to be...
He just wants an excuse to dress up in a costume and beat up poor people.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
That's what Batman is! Fundamentally. So, Gotham is going through Prohibition. It's the crash of the 1920s. But Lucius Fox is in charge of Wayne... Well, it wouldn't be Wayne Tech. Bruce Wayne's company. Fox has to pretend that Bruce is giving the orders because... We have to allude to the fact that Lucius Fox is black in the 1920s.
Yeah, I guess.
It's one of those things is, I get the impression it was, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they just wanted to get someone in.
Pretty much. So, once also Lucius Fox establishes, okay, we have made, well, we don't call it the Batcave, but it's the Batcave. Mm-hmm. So, Oliver Queen has invited Bruce Wayne out, and when Bruce, when everyone explores the house, there is a dead body sitting in the living room.
As you do.
As you do. He's severely damaged, and Bruce hallucinates him saying that his name is Langstrom.
Mm-hmm.
So, just as Bruce is getting ready to leave and meet with Oliver, having dealt with the body, we finally, he just threw him in the cave. Rather than, you know, get the police.
As you do, again.
And he finds that Jason Blood is waiting for him. explains, I know that you're the Batman, and if you want to save Gotham, three things have to come true. One, you have to seek out two spirits, one wrapped in bats and one in flames. Bruce Wayne must die and in death must become himself. That is the actual words they used because I listened to it about three times. And for Gotham to be saved, it must burn to the ground.
Wow. I mean, I'm all for that.
So Bruce tries to grab Jason Blood and interrogate him, only for Etrigan to appear and fight him off. And with that, we go and we hang out with Oliver Queen.
Who's pretty funky.
Yeah, so he's now a hunter. He is drinking a lot of alcohol, which, as I previously mentioned, this is in Prohibition era.
Yeah.
Gotham. And he also invites a surprise guest, and it's Harvey Dent. And it's established that the three of them know each other, but on that, it doesn't, you know, we don't really see much else discussed. Bruce, whilst they're having dinner, brings up Langstrom. Turns out to be Kirk Langstrom, who is referred to as the Bat of Crime Alley. I think at one point they also mentioned Robin's Way.
That's weird.
They are just trying to... They're doing that thing of Elseworlds of everything's a reference.
Yeah.
So, it turns out that Kirk Langstrom went mad.
Of course he did. Because Eldritch Horror is no fun without a bit of madness.
Yeah, and everything being indescribable.
Yeah.
So, after Harvey leaves, we see that... So, the whole time, Jay has been left with Grendon on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that Grendon's powers are spreading and the whole of the ship is starting to freeze.
Which is crazy.
We also find out at this point that Jay has no self-preservation instinct. So, meanwhile, the Bat is on the prowl whilst Kylie and Dick Grayson keep drunken Oliver company.
Yeah, he's drunk a lot.
Yes.
For good reason.
For good reason, yeah. So, the Bat arrives at Kirk Langstrom's office just as three policemen are trying to steal from the scene whilst Commissioner Gordon's there. And there is, and cult chalk drawing on the floor. I did originally put pentagram, and then I went, no, that's... I don't know enough to...
Yeah, I don't know if it is or not, but it's spooky symbols.
So, we then see that Kirk has left his last, not quite his will, but his last statement. Meanwhile, Alfred keeps getting calls from Barbara Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to something later. Once he's got away from the office, Bruce examines Kirk's last message, tells him that an entity is coming to Gotham, that this entity is worshipped by the Cult of Ghoul.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that made me laugh. Because it's just like, I mean, like, we're getting Ra's al Ghul, but like, because of the way it sounds in English, like, the Cult of Ghoul sounds particularly funny to me. I don't know why. It was very funny.
It's also, they require the Testament of Ghoul.
Yeah, yeah.
Which...
It's just having everything as Ghoul just made me laugh. I was like, okay.
So...
Yeah, it was good, you know.
So Bruce realises that this means that he figures out that Oswald Cobblepot had this book. He then calls into a library where Cobblepot was professor. And it turns out the book is hidden in that library. However, Bruce made a mistake because Talia al Ghul's been watching him this whole time. And she was basically using him to find the book.
It's crazy.
So Talia arrives, kills the librarian with a lizard that crawls into his ear that turns into a djinn.
It's really nasty.
Oh, the deaths in this film are
nasty.
A lot.
Not that nasty, to be honest. I mean,
by the standards of most of the films we've watched.
Yeah, but that's not saying a lot.
Yeah. So, Batman arrives and is pulled into a fight with the djinn. He tries to bring the whole tower down on the djinn, which doesn't succeed, until Etrican comes in to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Who then loses to this djinn off screen.
Which is insane.
Batman is able to chase down Talia, only to then be drugged by her, and he's then attacked by Killer Croc.
Which is funny.
So Killer Croc in this film is some sort of eldritch being covered in...
I mean, I can see
an alkaline substance. You know? Batman is able to outmaneuver him and run, but is left very injured by all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I swear half of this film is Batman crawling back severely injured.
Which is, yeah, amusing.
So, Talia and Killer Croc then talk in the sewers. She mentions that to Killer Croc that, okay, the key for what you need has arrived, and it's in the docks if you go get it. Mm-hmm. I wonder who they're talking about.
Yeah, I wonder.
Meanwhile, we've kind of been flashing back and forth with Oliver Queen at this point, and he's getting very, very sleepy and weepy and is sad. He mentions his father's sins and that, and he's sorry for Bruce.
Yes, yeah, so I wonder where we're going there.
Mm-hmm. So Alfred finds the very hurt Bruce. Before he gets medical treatment, Bruce insists on getting a substance on his costume analysed. Meanwhile, the area surrounding the ship has completely frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Grayson manages to get to the ship first whilst Kylie, Oliver, and Commissioner Gordon arrive slightly later. Dick Grayson finds Sanjay frozen to death.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep, we're what, 30 minutes into the film, and of course, one, the standard for Jason Todd needs to die, which does mean we have a dead kid in this film.
Yeah, I mean, they don't seem to shy away from that too much.
And, yeah, Dick Grayson is then attacked and killed off-screen by Killer Croc.
Because we have to have two dead Robins.
Yep. Absolutely. I wonder what... I did sit and wonder, because I mentioned earlier this week, so we have a dog that has a crocodile toy.
Yes, very cute.
And when I showed you a photo, you mentioned something about not watching the film.
I said I hadn't watched the... Oh, the dog was clearly not watching the film, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Talia begins a process of resurrecting Ra's al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the djinn comes back, and as part of the deal for releasing them, he helps Ra's resurrection. We then get Ra's backstory from a book that Bruce Wayne has.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep on hearing about the being that Ra's is trying to bring back, who is Iog Sofa?
Yes, yeah.
Who appears to only exist in the comic book.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's not a real thing.
It's not an established, you know, it's a renamed version.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ra's and Talia are joined by Killer Croc and Grendon.
Mm-hmm.
Batman goes to then confront them. Whilst that's happening, Alfred gets a call from Jim Gordon to tell him the news regarding Dick and Jay. Meanwhile, Batman ends up fighting Talia and Croc. He uses a compound to completely destroy Croc.
Unbelievable.
Which, yeah, this Batman kills. they just skip over that whole thing.
I mean, if you're going to be an Eldritch Horror, kind of have to kill a bit, you know?
So, the ritual is complete as Talia and Batman are fighting. Reptiles then are all summoned, and they start to attack the city for some reason that makes sense to someone, I'm sure. And Bruce falls into a pool of green liquid.
It is the Joker thing.
Pretty much, yeah. So we see the rest of Bruce's vision as he comes back up to the surface. He sees a bell tower. He was given a vision that Iog Sofa was coming, and the only way to stop him is the Bat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why he is the Batman.
Da, da, da.
And he is then picked up by Alfred and promptly goes insane.
I mean, what is it? What is Eldritch Horror without a bit of insanity?
So Harvey Dent is elected mayor. It also turns out that Harvey Dent is needed as part of this ceremony.
Of course he is.
So Talia kills Grendon, which forces him to throw up a seed, which then turns into poison ivy.
Yeah, which is a pretty amazing sentence, all in all.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's at this point I had to check that I hadn't I hadn't had, you know, that I hadn't somehow spiked McGinnis or something, because there's no way this is what's actually happening.
On screen. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it makes more sense than Man and Webb, but
not a lot more.
Yeah.
No, it does.
So, meanwhile, Batman is staring at the dead body of Kirk Langstrom and ranting and raving, not even reacting to the fact that two of his wards are dead.
It's Batman.
It's Batman. They mention at one point, oh, we might need to get Hugo, because what this film really needed was Hugo Strange, though he doesn't appear.
It probably should have. That would have been kind of cool, actually.
He's what... He is a character that looks like he belongs in an Eldritch Horror.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, looks, name, the lot.
So, meanwhile, Harvey Dent bumps into Poison Ivy, who scratches his hand and then disappears. Kylie then manages to find Oliver Queen in a church wearing Templar armor.
I thought the look was really good, actually. I really liked seeing him in the Templar armor.
Oh, it's a brilliant
look. It's really nice, yeah, yeah.
They've kind of established before he was wearing a cross mm-hmm. bracelet.
Yeah.
He then reveals that Henry Queen was over 300 years old when he died, having made a pact with a demon.
Yeah.
That this drove him insane, and it was actually Henry Queen that killed the Waynes.
Yeah, which is very cheeky.
Also...
knew it was going to happen. Very cheeky, though.
Yeah. And it certainly is a different take.
Mm-hmm.
So, it appears that Oliver has descended into something of a religious mania.
Which is also great. So I love that.
I
like religious mania.
And he now has holy relics to use as weapons, including a dagger and four arrows stained by the blood of a saint.
Which is awesome.
Kylie then goes to talk to Bruce because she hasn't exposed herself to enough mad father figures in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Dent has a rash covering half his body. So
there's a surprise. Half and Harvey Dent.
Yep.
Happens.
And he visits Herbert West, Dr. Herbert West, which is the only one of the two overt references to Lovecraft, the other being at one point another character calls himself Cthulhu.
Mm-hmm.
Poison Ivy. This all happens in the span of 5 minutes. It just at this point, it just rushes through.
Yeah.
So much plot. So Poison Ivy then attacks Oliver Queen in the church. A fight breaks out, and Oliver is mortally wounded before he kills Poison Ivy with a grenade. When Batman then finds the dying Ollie, one says, I didn't even use the religious arrows.
I just love the religious arrows.
So, Ollie then tries to confess to Bruce that it was Henry that killed Bruce's parents. Bruce already knew.
Of course, because he's Bruce, the world's greatest detective.
And he takes the holy weapons off of Oliver as he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we cut back to Harvey, whose infection is getting a lot worse.
Of course it is.
So now half of his body is purple and deformed.
Yeah, it's a pretty good change.
Yeah. He's then visited Batalia. We then cut to Graveside as Dick and Jay are being buried. Kylie tries to talk Bruce out of doing what he's about to do, only for Bruce to be approached by Jim Gordon, who says that his daughter has been looking for him. Kylie then mentions, oh, she's the Oracle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a surprise, yeah.
And Barbara Gordon has a ghost that wants to speak to him.
Of course.
So, Bruce then goes to visit Barbara Gordon at Arkham Asylum. I suppose that's a reference as well. But,
yeah.
but before he does, Alfred actually tries to stop him. Tries to talk him out of it, as does Kylie. Mm-hmm. And we actually get quite a scene that had the potential to be quite emotional if you were really invested in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see someone who is invested in this film really kind of... So he says goodbye to Alfred and Kylie. He hands the task of running the cave to Kylie. And then visits Barbara Gordon in Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them talk, and Barbara then says, is there a ghost you want to speak to specifically? And it turns out that the person Bruce was seeking out actually turns out to be Thomas Wayne.
Of course.
So, we then find out... This film is crazy. So, Thomas Wayne was actually born in 1585.
Of course.
He, Oswald Cobblepot, Bartley Langstrom, and Henry Queen were actually founders of the city of Gotham when people first arrived in America.
Mm-hmm.
What would become America. The land was not healthy, and Oswald Cobblepot found the book, the Testament of Ghoul.
Mm-hmm.
The four of them performed the ceremonies listed in the book, which granted them eternal life and gave strength to Gotham,
mm-hmm.
but also woke up Og-Sophar.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, after this, Langstrom committed suicide, Oswald ran off to Antarctica for, 420 years later.
Yeah, absolutely bonkers.
Henry went mad. Batman then leaves a sleeping Barbara after seeing his own father burned down to a skeleton in front of him.
That's crazy.
Batman then performs the ritual that Kirk Langstrom was trying to do. Drinks the formula, which I assume is meant to be the transformative that turns Kirk him into the Man-Bat. And at this point, I was expecting him to actually go for an Eldritch transformation, and he doesn't.
I thought we might get one, and it was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, he gets confirmed by the bats, oh, you're one of us now. Batman arrives at the ritual site. He finds what's left of Harvey Dent, who is now, half of his body has turned into a giant portal. Just saying what happens.
I know. when you lay it out like that, it
Batman then has to fight with and kill nightmarish versions of Oliver, Dick, and Jay using the holy arrows to kill them.
Yes, which is awful. Don't like that.
He then has to fight Talia, who he eventually kills with the last of the arrows, leaving only Raish. Raish, though, is able to successfully open the portal and then reveals himself as Cthulhu.
I mean, that wasn't really a surprise.
I mean, it's a different appearance to Cthulhu, at least.
It is.
And as the moon turns red and the portal's opening and Ioxorfa arrives, the Batman is buried under rubble and turns into Man-Bat.
Mm.
So Man-Bat and Ra's Cthulhu fight. Batman is able to defeat him. Batman and Ioxorfa stare each other down. Batman's going mad and he releases Etrigan, who'd been kept in a bottle that was just there. Etrigan then explodes, engulfing Ioxorfa. The whole of Gotham burns, apparently, though a few months later it's fine. The city's rebuilt. We cut 2 months later, the city's being rebuilt. Harvey Dent and Oliver Queen are being memorialized, and Kylie Kane leads a tribute to Bruce Wayne. Meanwhile, in the clock tower, sleeping Batman lays dreaming. And that's the end of the Doom That Came to Gotham.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad, it's...
It's not what I would choose to watch, I guess. But we've definitely seen ones that I've disliked more. It's pretty watchable. There's a lot. I didn't like the Kylie instead of Cassandra. Not because I didn't like it, just because it's seemingly pointless. Like, why? There was a lot of like weird little changes.
Yeah. It's yeah. There was some quite strange changes, and it's. It's certainly a different take on the character, and. I mean, it's certainly not dull. I'll give it that.
No, a lot does happen, and I switched out a few times and just went, "This is dumb." But then, you know, look, it's the story makes sense within the story.
Yeah.
So.
So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say kind of the same thing again. It's like, it was all right. It was all right.
Yep. So, the next film we've got come up is actually the first half of a two-parter, which is Justice League and Ruby, Superheroes and Huntsman.
Ah, yes.
Between that and the second part, we have Justice League War World.
All right, that's a bit different. Which, should really be a Superman film, but okay.
It's a Trinity film.
Yes, but the comic was a Superman comic. Should be a Superman film.
Just saying.
They
wanted an excuse to bring Batman in, and why not bring Wonder Woman? Because it's not like they've done anything else with her in the Tomorrowverse. Following that, we are watching Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
Oh, that'll be fun, sure.
Yep. As previously mentioned, part 2 of Justice League and Ruby. And then after that, it will be Christmas in April, May? Because we're doing Merry Little Batman.
That's nice, though.
Which is actually a Damian Wayne film.
Hooray.
And I also believe it's available for free on Amazon Prime, so I'll actually be able to watch that legally.
We watch them all legally, Alex.
Yes, absolutely. I've never, ever watched anything on a on a site. So after that, we will have the that's us going into Crisis on Infinite Earths. By the time we are finished doing regular episodes, the last two episodes will be parts one and two. Part three doesn't come out until later this year. I think part two comes out in April, so we will it will be during the time that we're still doing fortnightly episodes. And the only other confirmed films we have is there is a Watchmen film confirmed, though I've not seen anything else about it. And there also appears to be an Aztec Batman film, though the same still images have been bouncing around for about 2 years now. So whether that's actually coming out or it's just a concept, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't think there's anything else announced as a film. Obviously, this is the whole... This is reaching towards the end of the everything that was being made before the James Gunn reboot started.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting there. We're certainly... We've got less episodes to go than we've done already.
That's, I mean, by far.
By quite a significant
amount. Yeah, we've got not a handful, but not much more than a handful. So.
Well, we've got less than 10 before we stop doing two weekly episodes.
Yeah, that's true. Which is a good point to look at the calendar again.
Yep. Is there any other podcasts that...
We did a Immortal Iron Fist Sons of the Dragon podcast, which will be a bit earlier than this one goes out, for the 50th anniversary of Iron Fist. So, and we probably did... I probably did a Moon Knight one as well for the latest issue. So.
Good, good. I'm still doing Rise of the Robots. We are still going through Robot Wars Series 6. We'll be getting towards the latter half of it by the time this episode comes out.
Is it a fun one? Is it a good series?
It's probably the best series that we've done so far in terms of the quality of robots.
And that's nice.
It is when the show itself starts to get into a little bit of producer messing about.
Right, right.
And certainly the final is very controversial.
Oh, well, that's always actually quite exciting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Justice League, Ruby. Sorry, I'm just updating my list. Okay. Yeah. So
we will be back in 2 weeks' time with the first part of Justice League Ruby.
Yeah, exciting times. Something new.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch. At dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.